Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I am Matt.
And I'm J-Man.
And you have joined us today as we talk about Super Giant Robot Brothers. Have to make sure I got that right. I've called it every other name under the sun in the lead up to this. Super Mega Robo Bros.
Yeah.
Super Awesome Robot Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Super Robot Brothers. Just that.
The condensed version.
Yeah, I've gone through them all.
Yeah.
Mega, Robo. Giant, Awesome Bros.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget the robots.
Ah. Yeah.
But it is Super Giant Robot Brothers. Sorry to confuse you at the start.
Straight out the gate.
Super Giant Robot Brothers is an animated action-adventure comedy streaming television series created by Victor Maldonado and Alfredo Torres for Netflix. So these guys you may know from Troll Hunters, Tales of Arcadia. So they were in the animation department for that. The film A Monster Calls.
Also
in the art department for that. And they've done a few episodes of Love, Death and Robots.
Nice.
Part of the animation department as well. This, however, I believe is one of their first writing gigs in a series.
Mm.
Ongoing. I think together maybe.
Right.
But yeah. It was released on August 4th, 2022. So a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And it's set in the future, where two giant robot brothers must defend the Earth from an evil intergalactic empire that is sending kaiju to destroy the world. Pretty standard kaiju setup.
Yeah.
There's one series so far, obviously. It's pretty new. And 10 episodes. Again, you will find it on Netflix.
Mm.
And every episode, fun fact, is directed by former Pixar filmmaker Mark Andrews.
Oh.
So known for Brave.
Ah.
He's a story supervisor for The Incredibles and directed the short film One Man Band. Oh. So you may remember that's an old Pixar short.
Mm.
Old now. Oh, right. But yeah, there you go. So Super Mega Robo Brothers.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Akin to that, anyway.
Yep. Apologies to, should anyone that is involved be listening. I doubt you are, but, I'm going to get that name wrong a million times over.
Yeah.
So there you go, yeah. I mean, have you watched this before?
No, I haven't. I have not witnessed it. I don't even think I saw anything about it until we came to sort of review it either,
So I'd not watched. I mean, it's pretty new, so the odds of us having watched it anyway,
low.
Yeah.
We've not watched many films from like the 80s that we come to review. It's like, have you seen this? No, but I should have by now, probably.
I mean, it's important to remember that we started this as a 90s animation podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of where our specialism lies, I guess. And that's mainly just because we grew up with them.
Yeah. So there was a higher chance that we may have seen some of those.
Still, you may be wondering why you're listening at this point.
Yes.
We wondered the same. But we're happy to have you along.
That's it. It's a fun journey. We all
it
take,
is a fun journey.
You know?
We do have some ratings. I have an IMDb score.
Nice.
And a Rotten Tomatoes audience score. So just a heads up, average tomatometer critic score, we're just going to take it face value of 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. No higher, no lower.
Yeah. I mean, if it was on there, it would be anyway.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. Mm. Okay. Sorry. So let's play Guess the Score.
Mm-hmm.
Super Giant Robot Brothers, IMDb. There are only 162 ratings.
Oh.
Very low amount. Mm. So what's your guess? What do you think it's got on IMDb?
I'm going to go 6.8 on that one.
6.8, okay.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. And on Rotten Tommies?
Rotten Tommies... I think that's probably going to be 70. We'll just go 75%. Three quarters of the way.
Yeah.
You
know. Three quarters of people love
like,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you said 6.8 for IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
You were very close. It was 6.6.
Oh, that's not too lower than another thought there.
Yeah, but only 0.2 or so, you know.
Yeah, it's not too bad. That's still good.
You give yourself a pat on the back there. You know, out of 162, that's, I feel like out of that many, that's not great.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's such a low amount. Like, like usually at that point, like the first few hundred, it's just people that are like, love this, go on, 5 stars, you know. But there's clearly a few didn't like this. Zero, minus 2 stars, the new unlockable premium IMDb feature.
Yeah, it's not real. It's got a real splattering of votes, actually.
Really?
The majority is 10 stars at 38.3%.
Mm.
So just over a third of people said that.
Right.
But the rest is kind of evens, obviously on the higher end more.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you kind of think anyone that's rating either 10 or 1 just seems a bit extreme
with
anything, really, doesn't it? You know,
that's it, yeah.
But there you go. So let's move on to Rotten Tommies. You said 75.
Cool, 75.
The average audience score is 100%.
Oh!
So
that's interesting.
That is interesting, because last week we had our first 100% audience score that we could remember, at least.
Yeah.
Now we've got it again.
Look at that.
But on a thing that's kind of not got a low rating on IMDb, but has a very middling to average rating.
Hmm.
So yeah, a real mix there. So I guess who knows what we're in for. Let's then head to Twitter, see if that can cast a more, you know, obvious light on what people think of it.
Yeah. So not as many people talking about it on Twitter as I'd have first kind of anticipated, but there are a few people giving it a shout out. So we have Reno Varka, who's like in reply to someone talking about general sort of robot tropes in media, replies, "Super Giant Robot Brothers! They are so silly and have a cute bond and honestly, legit one, if not the only sentient robot media I've seen that has nothing to do with wanting to be human or human-like or destroying. They exist, accept that, and goof off while fighting kaiju."
Right, and wow, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's not something I've really thought of.
Yeah, can you think of any other examples that perhaps might lend itself to that?
I mean, I think some Love, Death and Robots, like the three robots on there, I think they're discovering humanity. I don't think they want to be humans necessarily.
No. Well, what I mean is, can you think of any that are like this in that they don't want that?
Yeah, that one, I think they're not.
Right, okay.
I think they want to be humans, but they are kind of assessing humanity in a way. So that's kind of like toeing the line a little bit and stuff.
I'll tell you what we have watched that I would say doesn't do it. Cubix.
Cubix, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's true.
You know, you got to get some Cubix down you. This is your jam.
It does sound like a cereal as well, so that does help. Yeah.
But yeah, Cubix is the one that comes to mind. I'm like struggling to think of other robot themes.
I know, shows. Yeah, definitely just blanked out on robot themes.
What about the movie Robots?
Yeah. I'm not sure on that one, actually. I don't think humans really exist in that, do they?
No,
it's just a robot world. I think, I don't know. In modern series, I'm not sure. But
yeah,
you do definitely see it a lot. I think more with... more with, I'd say, films, you know, like with sort of, I guess, thrillers and stuff like that. Like, usually if there's a robot in a, you know, a film, especially nowadays, there's, because of the fear of AI, kind of Terminator kind of sequence starts coming back and they do eventually want to destroy us or they do want to become us. I mean, Ex Machina, prime example. That it definitely does happen a lot, so it is nice to.
What about Star Wars?
Yeah,
that's another one where the droids are just.
They're just droids.
They're just droids. I mean, there's definitely a few out there, but that's not to say that there aren't loads of things where they are fitting into that trying to be human thing.
Yeah, and I think especially if robots are main characters as well, that usually seems to be the route that they go down, doesn't it? Because it's.
Yeah.
I think like. I guess the writers are like, well, how can we give them character that's interesting? It's like, well, give them this is their, you know, let's make this their intention. Yeah.
Well, and you know what? Like when I think about it, like the ones where they're not trying to be human, they often are just more fun.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they're all good stories. You know, I mean, anyone that watches Star Trek will know that Data is, you know. Mm. A favourite character of many.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And he's always trying to be human.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's fun on either side, I guess.
Mm. But yeah, thanks for the thoughts on that one. Reno Varka. We also have Pepin Kshktksad. That is. It's like P pink SHXT. So yeah, apologies for making weird noises.
Difficult to say
on that one. Yeah, definitely.
Not easy to read.
Yeah, not even easy to read. Yeah.
All right.
So there's some underscores in there as well for more difficult on Twitter. They've said many things because they started a 7-tweet thread that began with reasons why I love Supergiant Robot Brothers show and why you should watch it now. Point emoji, stars emoji, explosion emoji, shining heart emoji, explosion emoji. So they've started a thread and that includes they're talking about the animation, how fun the characters are, the humor, and the soundtrack, and more. So they literally came on Twitter to be like, here's why you should watch this show.
Yeah. So this is a real, like, you know, sibling to the Supergiant Robot Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
They're straight in there, loving it.
Absolutely loving it, yeah.
High-grade fan.
Oh, yes.
Nice one. Oh, it's always nice to see, you know, the positive stuff, isn't it, on Twitter. So there you go. So it's obviously captured someone's imagination.
Big fan, with many positive aspects on that one. We have Jaina Pontemuvo, probably pronounced that wrong as well, apologies. who says, Super Giant Robo Brothers, I especially recommend, not only because it's fun, but it's also the first slash among the first to make great use of the technology of Unreal 5's virtual camera and PC AP, which is, I've completely forgotten what that acronym stands for, but that's like motion capture, basically.
Classic us.
Classic us, yeah.
Getting all the hardcore details here on 2G.
Yeah, you know, it's got all the things in that you want. I can't tell you what that means, but yeah. It has that, so...
The point is, it's motion. It's like motion capture stuff.
No, it's PCAP, so it's performance capture as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between the two?
It's essentially the same thing. Like you're capturing the performance of an actor, but with this, they do that, and it's all in Unreal. So they've kind of pre-visualized the whole show in Unreal technology, which is used for game engines and stuff like that.
Right.
So they kind of you basically get a better storyboard, a sort of 3D storyboard of how the show's going to look, so you can then animate on top of that. And you've just got a better perspective of where the characters are going to be, what the environments are going to look like, the framing of everything, you know, what you can do with your camera angles and stuff. Like, so that's what the virtual camera's for, so you can really move around the scene to sort of get the best, you know, look. So, that's pretty cool that people are starting to use that now. Like, not something you'd have ever thought that sort of games would lead into in the end. Like,
no. They're
actually now helping us make animations, which kind of...
I think it's always like, you know, what's cool about, like, when they have a new technology and stuff, it's always these quirky, little, weird cartoons that no one's ever really heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
That seem to have started it. Like, whenever we watch something that we're like, well... This is important because of this, but we've never seen it.
Mm, yeah.
Or you might have seen it when you were a kid, but no one. There's only a few people that know about it. Mm. It's something like Reboot.
Yeah, yeah.
Where some people know about it, but they couldn't tell you what happened in it or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But that it's always interesting, isn't it? So this is a bit of a pioneer.
Yeah, definitely.
In the animation world.
And I mean, like, it certainly has a look about it, like a very sort of notable kind of visual, like you see Super Giant Robot Brothers and you're immediately like, yeah, that's that show. Like,
yeah.
So that's definitely a part of what it does. And, you know, maybe a big part of that is to do with the fact that it's been, you know, they managed to play around with it a little bit more before they dove straight into the animation. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We also have Jay Murfish, who says, I don't see enough people talking about Super Giant Robo Brothers in Netflix. The directing, the scripts, the acting, the design. It's a great show, and I hope it influences more shows coming in the future. Real effects, you have made an amazing job. I think that means you have done an amazing job. But they also made an amazing job because animation opens up jobs for many people along the way. So
I'm sure many out there would thank them for their
jobs.
But yeah, so they're very, very positive,
mm.
You know, wanting more and a big fan.
Yeah, yeah.
But an interesting point, you know, to be honest, we were supposed to be doing this at the start of October. I'm just throwing it out on the table for you jam heads out there.
Yeah.
We'd completely like Spooktober took us by surprise this year. We didn't know what day it was, what was going on.
No.
And then we were like, oh, flipping heck, let's get that sorted. So this has kind of gone on the back burner a little bit. But you know, then it's given it a bit of time for people to talk about it, but there's not really much out there.
No.
You know? And you know, the fact that we've gleaned more information just from going on Twitter than we have the World Wide Web in general shows you a lot. Well, it's a strange thing, isn't it?
It is really strange. Yeah.
But then again, we're finding this more with these streaming services, and I think we mentioned it the other week that kind of great shows can go under the radar.
They can really slip out of sight.
Yeah.
And something similar, we've got Hero Ramon 9, who says, okay, so Super Giant Robo Brothers is out on Netflix. And they've made almost zero marketing beyond a trailer. And they put, well, better me than nobody, I guess. Go watch this show. It's cool.
I suppose so, at that point, you know, that's what they're relying on, isn't it?
People? Yeah, yeah. Like having to lean in to do Netflix's marketing for them.
Yeah.
Wow.
But do you think that's more like, I mean, Netflix do push certain shows. Definitely you see, you know, loads of trailers online for things like, you know, Stranger Things and Sandman.
Yeah.
And this is obviously a show for kids, so they don't tend to push those anyway. So do you think they're just relying on people just flicking through and picking it?
I mean, maybe, but it seems kind of crazy to just do that and hope that people will come up enough for you. When, I mean, they've got lots of, you know, they've got lots of money, obviously. And, you know, there's different ways to market stuff to different audiences. And I mean, like, I'm sure they must, I mean, there's a kids section on Netflix. So, like, they know that there's going to be a lot of people out there that are like, they put their kids in front of the screen and leave them to it. Or, like, they know that kids are actively, like, using Netflix instead of a TV channel. So it's like they've got an audience there. So if they're making a show for that audience, like, why not tell them about it? It seems weird.
But it's weird because it's like, I suppose now, like, what's the way to advertise it to them? And are we going to see that?
I mean, it's kind of weird that they don't kind of push them more actually on the platform. Like, obviously there's a coming soon section, so you can see like what's due to come up. But you know, it's kind of strange that you don't go on sometimes and it's like, you know, it chucks you a few trailer bites of stuff that's coming this month or whatever.
You have to actively go on to like a tab, don't you, to see those things.
And I mean, other than it pushing it, like showing people when it's released that it's out and new, I don't know how else anybody else would have found it, because unless you're actively searching for it, you won't find that show, will you? Because there's just so much on there. I mean, weird. Like they definitely should do more ads, post more stuff on social media. Like, and you know, there's a million other ways to do marketing. Like,
I think there's definitely. It just still feels like there's a lot of stuff that they're figuring out with streaming stuff, and I guess, you know, problems will be solved as they go and they figure out more how. But you'd think, you know, with the way that every company seems to be able to just know every single thing about us just because we own a phone.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have thought by now there would be no way of getting anything wrong. Here we are.
Here we are.
Any more tweets?
Finally, this is the last one. We've got Lost in Legends, who says, just discovered Supergiant Robot Brothers on NF. This show is goofy AF, but I kind of love it. The animation is also quite enjoyable. Definitely scratches that nostalgic itch for something for after-school cartoons featuring kaiju versus robots. Thunder is best serious boy. Blue heart emoji.
I like that. That's very positive. And interesting that they're looking for kaiju fighting as a nostalgia.
Yeah, I can't even think of any old kaiju fighters that I've watched.
I mean, everything we had was usually the... I mean, kaiju wasn't even a... You know, you didn't call them that when we were kids, so...
No, it was just monsters. Like
monsters, yeah, so... Yeah. But they were always the good guys.
Mm.
So, and they never really actually fought other monsters in the cartoons.
No.
They just tended to, like... I don't really know what they did. Stopped disasters.
Yeah.
But hey, that's maybe, and probably they're just not the same age as us.
Maybe, yeah.
There's old timers out here.
That's it. Yeah, we will eventually change to old jam.
Where we just talk about old things.
Yeah, back in my day.
Back in my day, David the Gnome was the greatest show you had ever seen.
It's true that we will be saying that when our voices change to that. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Either that or we will just become gnomes.
Yeah, maybe.
Preferably. Okay, well, let's dig in. We've rambled enough.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, what are you sort of, your first thoughts on the show?
Well, I mean, it's got that, we talk about it a lot now, it's got that frame rate situation going on with it immediately.
Yeah, I just feel like every episode recently we've mentioned it. Well, anything new now?
It's really
it's getting positive. To a point where we're going to start commenting on things that have got a normal frame rate.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, it felt so smooth, this new show. I can't understand why, but it definitely felt smoother than what I usually watch. Yeah, it's got the whole choppy frame rate, which, I mean, does give everything a bit of energy in this, like the way that they've used it. I think it is different, you know, depending on how much they cut down. Some stuff we've watched is like, it's so, essentially, like the look of things is so crisp and clear and CG maybe that you kind of reduce the frame rate to stop it from just looking like a painting all the time. Like you try and add energy to the animation. Whereas with this, it's like, I feel like everything was kind of buzzing. There was a lot of energy through the show. And like, I think that just kind of helped it a lot. People bouncing around even more so by just kind of being across the screen immediately and whatever. And then the art style is quite cool as well. Just that it's got like a painterly look, but it's not super clean or super detailed. Like I think once you get zooms on stuff, it's like, oh, it's just kind of like, it feels a bit rougher, a bit more rough and ready. And it's quite nice, the kind of mix of that.
I mean, are you still, like, the frame rate stuff, are you getting tired of it?
I mean, we've seen it a lot now, so
I don't know if it's just because of what we do,
Yeah.
But it does seem, sometimes you're like, do we need this? Sometimes, you know, you're like, yeah, that's wicked. And it makes it look, I guess it makes it look more like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Which is the weird thing.
And I guess
it's finding that balance so it doesn't, sometimes you're like, it just doesn't look great here. And that's what, like, we found, I think, quite a few times recently that sometimes it's almost like they need to use it sometimes and not others.
But then,
finding
that
balance.
I suppose, that's the trick, isn't it? Yeah.
But
I think it's suited not just, you know, the sort of like the tone of the show, but also a lot of the characters were very bouncy in this, like quite literally as well. Like, so it was, I think it fit the show quite well, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, had it not been there, I probably wouldn't have, I wouldn't have been like, something missing from this. But, it's like, now it's there. It's like, it kind of suits it.
It did give it a bit of character, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And, I mean, speaking of characters, how did you find the characters in it?
Yeah, I think a lot of them were quite interesting, like, quite fun. I mean, the main character, like, well, Shiny, the main robot, I think they were the only one that kind of bordered on irritating. For me, it was like,
that's basically what I was getting at.
I'm not sure whether they really fully tipped into the other side, but it was very, they were very on the line. Like,
it was teetering, wasn't it?
Really was close. And I think, I mean, to be honest, that was almost quite skillful in a way. they got me just like kind of annoyed with them enough, but not so much that I was like, actually, I don't want to see him anymore.
But
they cut away just at the right time.
But I did feel like, I feel like by the end of it, you know, he goes sort of to the future and joins essentially what is his brother, who seems pretty capable. By the end of it, it just felt like he probably would have been better off if he'd not been with him. Like, his brother was still like he had that gun that saved the day, but you would be like, oh, could you just put another gun on him? That's kind of how I felt, because he was a bit annoying. And I think mainly just because he just kept messing up. but and destroying things. I think it's probably just something as you watch when you're older, and you just like you can just see how much of the city they're destroying.
Yeah,
because he's decided to have a fist fight with his brother.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the story as well, though, isn't it? Like the it's like old tech versus new tech type of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, you know, they you know, as his brother's kind of assessing him in his very robot way, saying, you know, old stuff was built with, you know, lots of imperfections like baked into the way that they made them.
And, yeah.
You know, lots of these things are completely unneeded. He's basically saying he's overweight as far as robots go, which was kind of funny because he's literally just a ball with, with limbs. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's interesting. I thought that was, you know, it did make sense as a complete thing. And I mean, I guess maybe you'd like him more as the episodes go on.
Yeah,
I like to think that's what they do with the character.
It'd go either way, wouldn't it? You'd either like him less or like him more. But I thought it was interesting the way they kind of, the way they set it up by her making him as a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And then she couldn't remember anything she did. Because, you know, she did it completely on her own with no help from anyone.
Yeah.
She lifted all those parts and... But you know that... Again, it's like the adult in you talking, like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But I did quite like the idea. Like, it was like a really novel way of setting them two up. Which was cool.
And I did think the like having essentially just like a girl genius as the head of this
you know,
this whole sort of alien fighting institution was really cool as well. Like just something that you never really see that as the like how old is she? Like 3?
Yeah, she's 3, and then obviously
it's just like, why is she heading this military operation? It's so bizarre. But it was really fun. It was like, she was actually way smarter than everybody else there.
But she was still a 3-year-old. I think it was just, it was good at, like, it's definitely, it's silly, but
it
fun.
It is silly,
I think,
But I think, weirdly though, like, it's so silly, it takes a bit of getting used to, doesn't it? Like, like it takes you a little bit to sort of, like, sit into the show and be like, oh, this is actually what they're doing. Like,
it's kind of, I think, because they're trying to sort of ground some rules for it. So you're almost trying to figure out how they can coexist. But I think they do manage it.
Yeah.
To be honest, by the end of the episode, you know, if you enjoy it, then you'd be very happy with that combo, I think.
Yeah. Was there anything you didn't like?
I mean, besides, like I say, the character was kind of teetering, but there was nothing really that wasn't to like. I think maybe, I don't know, it suffered kind of from a lack of detail in their environments, particularly when they were in the city. So there was a city, but it just looked like there was no one in it ever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, probably smart with all the damage.
Yeah, probably not that bad. But I did think, you know, other than that, there wasn't really anything that upset me. What about you?
No. I think Shiny was about as irritating as, you know, the show got, just some of his character traits and stuff. Everything else I quite enjoyed. I really liked, you know, just some of the humour. It was kind of, it caught me off guard. Just loads of little, just small snippets of side characters just kind of like talking to each other, like just military personnel just on the job, just kind of not sure what they're
just
doing.
Like little gags about them, like when Shiny calls one of it, says one of them's got bored and he just runs off crying.
It's yeah.
It's just little stuff like that made it, you know, made it a lot more fun.
Yeah. It was just nice to have that addition because every other show would have just gone straight forward with the plot, but it was nice to sidetrack to just like, oh, that's quite funny, actually.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And I mean, yeah, I thought the, for saying that this was essentially, you know, it's an animated, the first thing you'll probably compare it to is like, you know, Pacific Rim, depending on how big a fan people are of Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
This is, I think really was just a way more fun equivalent of that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just made everything much more exciting. It had all the kind of action bits, because I did wonder whether it'd be able to pull that off. And even with the frame rate and stuff, like, the action was really fun.
Yeah,
You know, the way that they tackled all the engagements and stuff, like the aliens and stuff looked really cool as well. Like, I liked the design of stuff. They kept mixing it up. And yeah, it was just so much more sort of like dynamic than, you know, the Pacific Rim 90-minute, or it's probably about 2 hours film version of it. Like, this is more condensed and just has a lot more character to it than that. And the story, you know, I think a lot more straightforward and easy to kind of get to grips with.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And, you know, Pacific Rim is garbage, so...
Well, yeah.
Mic drop! Apologies sure, to any Pacific Rim fans out there. I am a thumbs down. But yeah, okay, well, we've talked to, you know, when we get to ribbing other projects, I think that's time to move on. let's move on and give our final reviews. Super Mega Robot Bros, awesome Robo Trooper Boys, Super Trooper Robo Bobos, Robo Bros hanging around, fighting monsters, Robo Boys. It's the awesome Super Robot Brothers, Brothers, Robot, Super Robot Bros. They're the awesome Robot Brothers. They're the awesome Super Boys. And they fight the monsters wherever they are. They're the Super Robot Bros. Mega Robot Boys. It's the Mega Robot Super Boys!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, so here at Toon Jam, we have a 3-point rating system that goes as follows. Thumbs up, Super Giant Robot Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thumbs down, lame, small, human brothers. Yeah, and shaky middle, normal, medium, cyborg relations.
Mm. Yeah.
Strange. Okay, so if that made any sense, thumbs up good, thumbs down bad, shaky middle is exactly that. So, Supergiant Robot Brothers.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think I really like the look of the show. It's one of those that, you know, a couple minutes in, you're like, oh, you know, your eyes are really just kind of darting around because there's quite a lot to look at. It, you know, not just art style wise, the robot designs were really fun. It was really nice to see the sort of difference between this kind of past tech and the way that the world was there and the way that things changed in the future as well. The aliens looked really cool. You know, just the angles and shots of the show were really nice. They did pause to take some kind of cinematic moments as well, which was really cool. Because, you know, why wouldn't you when you've got big monsters fighting big robots? It's, I think they made a lot of good choices, you know, visual wise. And then, you know, on top of that, I think overall, the rest of the characters in the story was just really fun. It had a lot of energy, like I've said. The characters were, you know, some of them were really quite thought out, and others seemed like they were like, we would just kind of just lean into a trope and just make it silly. And it was fun either way. Like, we had just kind of like the overbearing general and stuff, but he was still fun to watch because, you know, did a few slip ups and stuff and you're like, oh, that's fun. Even the side characters were like, oh, that's fun. Like, you don't really get that in shows. Like, you'll just kind of stick with the main cast. But we even had some little fun gags from, you know, random interns, random science officers, you know, generic tank man, all adding to the fun. And then, you know, as the story goes as well, I think you are after, you know, this was a real intro of the show, a real cool episode one. We went through time, went through space, yeah, into the future, had a couple robot alien fights. And now it's like, well, what is going to happen? Like, how are things going to change going forward? Like, is Shiny going to get on and readjust? Are they going to upgrade him? You know, is he going to become more serious as he gets his upgrades? What's going to happen? So there's a little bit of intrigue there as well. And overall, I think just they really got like a cool kids, like really fun kids show in the end out of that. And something that, like, I know if I was younger, like, I just want to watch more of it. You know, you just want to kind of sit in front and get as many, you know, Supergiant Robot Brothers in as possible. And again, also, yeah, bonus to the soundtrack as well for kind of amping that up as well. You're getting all those fun guitars in the back, just really adding to the action packedness of it all. So, you know, if I had the option for having to watch Pacific Rim and this, I would definitely choose this. and I'm sure little me would too. So, yeah, for me, it's going to be a thumbs up, Supergiant Robot Brothers.
Okay, there you go. Glistening review there. Yeah. I mean, there's not much to dislike about it, really. It's, you know, it looks pretty cool. The actual art style as well is pretty nice. And it's kind of fresh, you know. There's not loads like it out there. It's nothing, you're not going to be like, whoa, this is blowing my mind with how different it is. But it's definitely got its own feel to it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, in tone reminds me of a sort of classic DreamWorks animation. I say classic, you know, within the last 20 years, but, you know, like early DreamWorks sort of CG animated films. It's got kind of a charm with that, like a light feel to it. And I guess, you know, the creators had worked on things like Trollhunters, which I know is newer, but it's also a DreamWorks property. And it has that kind of same feel. It's fun. All these small character interactions kind of make it, and it kind of makes it feel different to a lot of animated shows. And it feels more like an animated movie because of that. Like, it's got a weird kind of middle ground to it that you just, I guess, you don't even realize exists. But it's because of those kind of, the change of those CG movies kind of changed the tone of animated movies as well.
Right.
So it's cool to kind of see that come to the small screen as well. But yeah, I mean, for kids, it's got to be a load of fun. I know I would have loved it as a kid. Now, I enjoyed it. Would I watch more? Probably not. But I know there's, you know, as a kid, I definitely would have done. And there's people that will get more out of it, sort of thing. So I can't give it anything other than a thumbs up, but it's not necessarily my highest thumbs up. Mm. But still a thumbs up. Yeah. So still a good show. So there you go, two thumbs up. Mm, you can't go wrong with super big robot boys.
Maybe that's why there's just not so many people, you know, reviewing it and stuff online. They just haven't got the name right.
Yeah. But don't worry, I've searched for it so many times now that hopefully it will start appearing as anything. because it took me ages to find it. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please feel free to get in touch on the three monsters of the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ToonJamPod. Just let us know if you agreed with us, cool. If you didn't, cool. Just let us know. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please feel free to give us a rate and review wherever you listen. It costs nothing and it really, really helps us out. I know I say it every week, but it really does. We also have a Patreon with bonus episodes. You can catch our older episodes on YouTube, or if you are listening on YouTube, we have a podcast feed with newer episodes, so go and check them out. We also have a merchandise store, which is bit.ly/ToonJam Shop. Where you can get all sorts of goodies on there, all help support the show. But otherwise, just once again, thank you for joining. And as always, you stay super giant mega robo jammy.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/ToonJamPod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.